Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, and we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging, and their multiple birth parents of children with disabilities. And this week, we're talking to someone who's an expert on getting our children with disabilities ready for starting school.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F-word. It's not suitable for children, so put your headphones in or your earbuds or listen to it in the car when you're having a bit of self-care. Whatever works, peas. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, Kate.
Back for another snap pea.
Yay.
Yes, we know you peas love these because, you know, they surprise us too. We never know when they're coming out.
We just pop them in on a Monday.
If we've got time during the week, we record them. And this is another snap pea where we've got a friend.
Yes.
And our friend this week's name is Jenny. And she, would you like to say where she works, Mandy?
And she works for the Association for Children with a Disability. But would you like to say hello, Jenny?
Hello. Hello, lovely ladies. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's awesome. We love speaking with your organisation.
That's right.
So before we get into getting ready for school, would you like to – are you a P?
Yes, I am a P.
Yay. I
am a P. All the cool people are.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone wants to be in our gang.
Yep.
Yes, I have a gorgeous young man as my son, and he has a disability. And he has changed my whole life, the direction of my life, in a major ways. And you know, I also work for the Association for Children with a Disability, so I love supporting other parents and providing them with some guidance and advice to help them on their way, on their journey.
So powerful, so important.
It is.
Did you have anyone to reach out to when you were going through like early childhood with him?
Oh, look, he was my first child, and we didn't really know that he had a disability until he was probably about 6 months old. And I've got to say, it was pretty devastating when we found out because it somehow changed him, and yet I kept looking at him thinking, you're still the same little boy.
Yes,
you know, it's just happened to have this label that's been given to you, and it took me ages to work out how to deal with that.
Yes.
And, but I think we all get there in the end. And I didn't have any connection to disability. You know, I'd never been to school with anyone with a disability. I didn't have any friends that had a child with a disability, so it was a brand new world for me. And, you know, very scary times as well.
Well, it's just something that people often don't talk about, even though one in six of us will have a disability. But for some reason, it just it isn't part of the parenting narrative.
No, no, it isn't. I like to think that these days there is a greater awareness about disability in the community.
Yep.
I certainly see it, but I live it and breathe it. So
yes.
I'm always looking for the signs or trying to create, you know, that inclusive environment wherever I go.
Yes. Absolutely.
And Chris, you know, himself, he's become an amazing advocate for himself and for others. And it's just a delight to see him, you know, talking so positively, you know, about who he is. And, you know, disability is just one aspect of who he is.
That's right. Yeah. We're all just people. We're all different anyway.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. You've got to look beyond the disability. You've got to look at who the person is. They're just like the rest of us, you know. They just happen to have this other aspect to their life.
Yes. They just
that might impact them.
Yes, and we're just, we all need different support structures. Like, I don't need what you need and you don't need what Mandy needs, and, you know, that's the same with our kids. We just have different support structures, and then we can have a more accessible life.
Absolutely.
And it's his birthday today, isn't it? You told us.
Yes, I know. It's so exciting. But, I've, you know, it's a challenge during this COVID-19 situation to find out, you know, what to do.
I know.
We normally get together as a family and have dinner and, you know, have a great time. But tonight's going to be a little bit different. I can actually visit him. He's not that far. He lives independently in a share house.
Wow.
With three other guys, and I think they've got some plans. In fact, he did say to me, "Mum, I'm getting old now. I don't think I need a present anymore."
I know,
isn't that amazing?
Yes.
But he said it'd be great if you could bring some takeaway over and we can share with the rest of my mates here.
Oh,
what a lovely idea.
That's lovely. Mm. That's a perfect birthday. That's what I want too.
That is a perfect birthday with my friends, some takeaway, my mum paying.
Oh, yes.
I know. Did I mention that part?
Well, I think that was implied.
Well, I think it's a special day, and it's a special day for you too.
Yes.
So.
Congratulations, Mum.
Yeah, congratulations.
I always believe mums should get a bunch of flowers on their children's birthday.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we've all done an amazing job.
Yeah.
And it should be acknowledged. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree. Campaign for that. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll start campaigning.
And I'm really thankful to talk to you because I'm always yearning to speak to people further along the path than myself. So there's always much to be learned.
Yes, absolutely. And I've got to say that it didn't take me long when Chris was very young, and you never forget those early years because so much is happening. But you just never forget, you know, the people that supported you at that time and the ones that didn't.
Yes.
Disappointingly. And and the people that you connect with who are just so amazing and full of support and guidance. And I've got to say the best information I ever got was from other parents.
Yes, that is so true. Yeah, they've lived your life. Well,
you can trust them.
But, yeah, you can trust them.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. They understand. They've got that understanding, that lived experience. And, you know, when you have a child with a disability, unless you've, you know, you do have a child with a disability, you don't know what it's like, what you experience, the emotions that you go through.
That's right.
So, yes, some of my best friends, in fact, pretty much all of my best friends have children with a disability.
Yes.
Yep.
It's pretty same for me.
It's also a judgment-free community, and a lot of other people don't get to live that, and that is a joy.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, working at the association is just fabulous because I work with an amazing group of or team of all women, and they all have some sort of connection with disability. Many of them or most of them have a child with a disability. And, you know, that just makes working there just amazing because we all understand each other and we know how to we have a really good idea as to how to support parents who contact us.
Yes.
And we sort of know what the information is that they're looking for.
Yes.
And we're good listeners.
Yes.
And they provide us with a lot of guidance as to how we run our service so that we support them in the best way that we can.
Mm. Oh, what a gift.
So, mate, even your Facebook page, all during COVID.
Oh, it's been awesome.
Oh, it's been so great. This is what you can expect from school. This is what you can ask of your school. This is what the mask requirements are. It's just been really, really, really powerful. So we are really grateful that you do it.
Definitely. It's my first port of call. I'll just read what they have to say.
Same.
What you guys have to say.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, that's our strength. We make sure that all the information that we provide is up to date and is accurate.
Yes.
We're too tired
it's hard to filter
find
through.
It. We just need the facts in a dot point. It's perfect.
That's it. You don't want to be overwhelmed with too much information, which is sometimes we get from some of the government.
Yes. Yes.
So we try and take that and because not all of it applies to our families.
Yes.
You know, who have children with a disability. So we have to find out, you know, what is the information that parents need to know. Mm. And if it isn't clear, then our wonderful CEO, Karen, who's also been on your podcast before, has amazing skills of getting in touch with those people who are making these decisions and asking them the hard questions, you know, how is this going to impact on families of children with a disability?
Wow.
Guys have been really amazing advocates because during the first lockdown, you know, we didn't know what was going on. Are carers allowed to come to the house? What happens to all of the telehealth and NDIS? And just having that person there pushing that to the front all the time.
Just even including specialist schools in the wording.
Yes.
Yeah.
We weren't even included. And so my next move I want from the government is it to say specialist schools, prep 1 and 2, VCE, instead of us coming last.
Yeah.
So that's the next change. That's the next change I just want to see because every time it's like they're the last one, we're still including them, but they're last.
Yes, that's right.
We could come first sometimes, you know.
That's absolutely right.
Anyway, we'll see if we can make that one change. I don't know.
We'll have to get Dan to listen again.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
You know, you don't want to be, we shouldn't be forgotten.
No, because it's our children are just as important.
Well, yeah, and during this time of great change, everything's been pulled out from under all of us and our children need consistency even more. So, yes, we are rejoicing in the fact that school goes back next week for a whole lot of Victorians, but for Mandy and I, kids with additional needs and disabilities are going back. So
which is great. And we've got some amazing stories to share on the ACD website for your children, stories you can read to your children in regards to the return to school.
Thank you.
That was sort of, I think, a request that we got from parents. And and like I said, all of us are parents or have some connection to disability, so we know what an anxious time it can be for our children. For parents. So, you know, we've got a going back to school story. We've got a having my temperature checked story.
Yes, thank you.
Wearing a mask.
Yep.
Getting a COVID-19 test. All of those things are big. Can be quite anxious for our kids.
Definitely.
Yes, and I was saying it before to Mandy that for my boys, they just think that they're going to go back and then COVID's going to come back and then they're going to have to come back home because that's what happened already this year. So, and you can't definitively say to them, no, that's not going to happen. So they, in their mind, they align school with COVID coming back because remember we all went back for a couple of weeks and then it came back. So I'm like, no, I don't think it's going to be like that, but we'll work it out if it is, you know. So there's normally when school goes back at the start of the year, we all go through all this anxiety, but we can give them really clear ideas of what it's going to look like, but we can't this time.
No, it is that uncertainty and that's the situation that we're in. And it's very difficult to talk through that with your child, you know, with a disability. They don't have the capacity to fully understand.
That's right.
So, you just have to try and keep it simple in your explanations. Most of us know how to do that. We've learned how to do
that. We sure have. My daughter's very anxious about wearing a mask. So I've spoken to her school and they've said she doesn't need to. But I just got really sort of, when she was told on the Zoom everyone has to wear a mask, she comes out crying. I just go to fight or flight. She goes like to fight. I'm like, this is just ridiculous. She's got cerebral palsy. She's got a speech disorder. She chokes on her food. I just went berserk. I was like, there is no way. I'm going straight to Daniel Andrews. And I just thought, calm down, Mandy. Ring the school. And the beautiful ES was like, oh, no, she doesn't have to wear one. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my gosh! Don't we all do that?
Oh, it's just I couldn't control it.
And well, then it's a lifetime.
It is a lifetime of having
happening.
To fight the next thing.
Yes.
Oh my
exactly.
gosh!
Yes. Exactly.
And wanting them to go You're... back without any hiccups.
I just need her to go back and have a nice time.
Yes.
Not much to ask, really.
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, for today, your expertise for today is to talk about getting our beautiful children ready for starting school.
Yes, particularly for those preps that are starting.
Yes.
That might have had a very disrupted year this year with kinder.
Yes.
And perhaps haven't had, you know, all the support transitioning into school in next year.
Because I heard that they're not doing transition. Is that right?
Oh, no. Really?
No. I think there's a bit of uncertainty around that at the moment. They should be. There's no reason why they can't, but it might look a little bit different from what it would normally be.
So let's just clarify. We're in Melbourne.
Yeah, we're in
Melbourne. We've been in lockdown. So this might be a little bit different to the other states. And also our wording. So kinder here in Victoria is four-year-olds.
Yes.
And then when we talk about foundation or prep, that's our first year of primary school.
Yes.
Yes, it is confusing, isn't it? Every state has a slightly different system,
That's
education
right.
system.
Yes.
And that can be tricky.
Yes.
Tricky for parents. But yes, starting prep together, we've got this wonderful series of online workshops for parents that are in that situation and just need to know about how you can start transitioning into prep.
Mm.
And it's a series of three online workshops, and we'd hope that parents would go to all three of them. And it's about supporting each other and sharing knowledge, and I suppose learning some important things like how to build a good partnership with your child.
Yes,
something you know, it's got to be you've got to start in a positive way.
Yes,
you do really important.
I don't know whether you ladies had troubles, with your child moving into school. I certainly did, but that was a long time ago. I like to think that, and I know that schools absolutely want to know who your child is and work in a positive way with you. And you're very much, as a parent, a part of that conversation because you are the experts in your children.
I think there's a few layers. For me, it was, you know, communicating with the teachers, then communicating with the parents, then communicating with the children because they were asking questions, and then giving my children the skills and being able to talk about their disability or their AFOs that they were wearing. There were so many layers. And then also getting to know the aide and trying to who do I communicate with, the aide, the teacher, how are all these boundaries, do I get their mobile number? Like there's so many things.
Mm.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely, and around building that positive partnership. So, and it is, one of the main things that parents contact at our organisation is around issues with schools. And often you find that the underlying problem is communication or lack of communication or lack of a good communication, a way of communicating with your child's school. So we always say it's really good to try and establish, the best way of communicating with your school, right, with your child's school right from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Works for both you and the school. Mm. And there are lots of different ways of doing it. You know, you can have formal meetings, which when you have a child with a disability, you do have your student support group meetings.
Yes.
And I know you've got there's similar meetings that schools in different states have as well. And you can have those informal meetings regardless of whether your child receives funding support through the Department of Education.
Mm.
So that's important to remember that you can have, regular formal meetings with your school and you should.
Yes.
And then there's just parent-teacher interviews. But just your informal chats with your child's teacher is really important. I mean, they're the person that are working with your child, so it's really good to keep in regular contact with them.
Oh, yeah, it's really, really important. And to try and to learn the right language to use so that you don't come across as blaming. You know, there's no one to blame here, but this happened yesterday, or would there be any way that we could make this a little easier? But it's really hard because you don't want to blame the teacher because you don't think it's the teacher's fault, but it's hard to get that wording right. And you become an expert at it as life goes on and years go by, but Yeah, if you can get any of those tips from these webinar things, then awesome.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is about mutual respect too, you know. And absolutely, if you're angry, you just want to bring someone and blame them.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yes.
And you might not know the full story, but you're just anxious and angry. And so the best thing to do often is if you feel that there has been an issue or, you know, something's come up and you're not happy about it, just to find out exactly what happened, ring the school and ask.
Mm.
Don't hesitate. Just ring the school and ask. They might not even be aware of it.
Yes, no. That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, it happened in the playground. So,
and I think this is true for SDSs, for special schools, and for mainstream.
Yeah,
you can still ask the same questions everywhere you go.
Yeah, it's actually true for all children.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and I think I remember a principal said to me once, "Don't lose sleep over it. You should have already emailed or rung." Because if the next day it has snowballed in your mind into something bigger, then you can't barge into a classroom at 8:30 in the morning, expect the teacher to have half an hour to talk to you.
No.
So if you've already communicated the day before, it's awesome. Or if you say, I need someone to call me back today, the next day. But he's like, if you've already lost sleep over it, you should have at least sent me an email.
Exactly right. Oh, perfect advice. I mean, gosh, that's wonderful hearing that came from a principal.
Mm.
That's fantastic. And, you know, that is, don't, sometimes it is good to sleep on it. You don't want to be, you know, just having a go when you don't really know what's gone on.
Yes.
But you don't let it fester, you know. No. Just ring the school and ask or say, this is what's happened. I don't know why it happened. Can you please explain? Can we have a meeting?
Yes.
Can we have a chat? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should, you know, when you have a good relationship with your school, you wouldn't even think twice about doing that. You just pick up the phone or write an email and, you know, ask, you know, what actually happened. This is my version of the story. What's yours, sort of thing?
Yeah, that's right. And the truth is usually somewhere in the middle because children can catastrophize as well or completely misinterpret things and you're like, what happened? And then none of that happened, you know?
Yeah.
So, but there's also times when things do go wrong. Because that's life. Or someone has been treated unfairly or their, you know, wishes haven't been listened to, and that's the times that you really have to put your advocate hat on and go, right. So my advice, which you've probably got more than me, is to also save your moments. You know, sometimes you really have to go in.
It's a marathon.
And like, I'm going to have to request a meeting today. We're really going to have to talk about this. This has to be resolved. And other times it can just be a little email, or you can, you know, talk about it with some friends and go, no, it wasn't an issue. You know, friends are pretty good if you've got good friends at letting you know whether you're over dramatizing things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a judgment call. You know, is it something that serious that you really need to have a formal meeting to discuss it further? And that's when the student support group meeting comes into play.
Yes.
You know, you put the student support group together and you say, we need to have a meeting, and for this particular reason, you can have them at any time.
Mm.
It's good to have them regularly just to talk about how your child is traveling educationally and socially at school.
Mm.
But if something significant comes up, it's good to perhaps have a meeting about it. Or if it's really an issue, then, you know, you should perhaps you get in touch directly with the principal.
And I think parents, I don't know, there's all lots of different parents, but you should never feel any fear about going and speaking, because principals and teachers are just people, and they can't do anything if we don't tell them. And other parents do it. It's not just you. You know.
No, everybody does it.
You've
got your child's best interests at heart, and you want to make sure that the school does as well. And, you know, I'm sure all schools would love to know who your child is and know how best to educate them and want to support them in their learning. So you've got to go in with that mindset. You know, they're not out to get you.
No.
They're not out to make your child's life a misery.
No.
That's certainly not their, you know, what they want to do. So, you know, it goes back to, once again, you know, having that good communication established with the school and you know, just having a good relationship with your child's teacher if you can. And checking in with them regularly, you know, sharing information about your child, you know, what they did on the weekend that might influence how he or she supports your child in their learning that week. You know, there's lots of things that you can share with your child's teacher that will make a real difference to how they teach their child, child.
I think sometimes what's often underestimated is that if you've had a diagnosis or you've had a difficult birth and pregnancy, that women, mothers have been doing this for 5 years before we start school. We've already gone through early intervention, we've gone through kinder. Sometimes you even get to school and you're already very tired.
And it would be nice to just be able to hand it over and go, there's my beautiful child.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that is something, Mandy and I were talking about this with someone else last week, that's like a something unique to parenting children with disabilities and additional needs, that even when your children are 15 or 30 or, you know, 12, you're still maybe doing advocacy in a way that you had never envisaged you would be doing it. Mm. So you get very good at it, but it's also tiring. It really takes it out of you.
Absolutely. And you're right, we do advocate for our children with a disability all through their lives. Mm. And I certainly do now. And, you know, Chris is 35 and, you know, we are a team, the two of us. And it's to ensure that, you know, he gets to do all the things that he wants to do in his life, that, you know, he can find a job and that he does have aspirations, as do all of our children, you know. And we're, part of our role is also to show that we've got aspirations for our children, that we absolutely know that our children can learn and transfer that across to the school so that they understand, yes, absolutely, you know, this is a child that is able to learn and wants to go on into a job and travel and you know, has dreams and wants to do things that every other child wants to do. Mm. And, you know, that might help them get a feel for, you know, how best to support your child as well. But like you said, you've got to be at the right headspace to be able to do a lot of this. And if you're not feeling 100% or you're particularly exhausted, don't communicate with anyone. Just take it easy, look after yourself, because if you can't, you know, look after yourself, you can't look after others.
I think, you know, for me, when my twins started school, I had a 6-week-old baby. Mm. So I think I was so tired and delusional and I just wanted them to go there.
Yes.
So I don't think I was the greatest advocate. So I just want people to know to not beat yourself up about that. If you think, I don't actually have the energy for this, I'll do what needs to be done.
Mm. That's right.
Yeah. And there's many years to come.
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. No, you absolutely have got to make that decision. And there's nothing wrong with just sending your child to school.
No. That was so good.
No.
Goodbye.
I know. You think about them for the whole day.
Well, it's something to switch off for us if you've been on high alert since the minute you were either pregnant or they were born or you had your diagnosis. So it takes a little bit of time.
It does. It does.
You're not thinking, is my child going to leave? I just remember thinking, how are they not going to run out the gate?
Yeah, why won't they just leave? I know.
They just stay in there.
It's so true. I know. And I just think when we all go back from lockdown, whoo, that's going to be a powerful day too. When the house, I mean, I can't imagine my house being empty because my husband has been working at home since March and my other children are all home too, doing uni and telehealth consults. And I'm like, this is, what a year.
I know. I've got nothing but admiration for those parents that have been at home with everybody there with them. I mean, it must be so hard. We know it's so hard because we get parents ringing us.
Yes, you know, it's so hard.
They're struggling to hold it all together. So, yes, my hat goes off to you amazing mums.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What about for families with children who are nonverbal? What are some of the things that could be for them if they're heading into an SDS or a specialist school, and they, how is it best for them to communicate, parents to communicate with the teachers if their children can't tell you what's going on? Is that something you can help with? Or
Absolutely, that would be part of the transition, and you know, that whether the whatever supports that the family have already in place, so the speech therapist that they might have through the NDIS, and so they would be able to meet with the school, with the parents, and discuss, okay, well, what is the best way of communicating with your child when they're at school? And it's really important to, you know, to absolutely work that out when your child's just starting preps. So that would be part of the initial meeting with the school to discuss, you know, what are the supports that need to be put into place for your child to have a successful start to school.
Yeah.
And, of course, communication is, with, you know, in regards to your child, is really important. How do we communicate with your child as a teacher? So, yes, you'll be, as a parent, be front and centre in all of that as well, and giving your advice about the best ways to do that and to help your child settle into school when they are nonverbal.
And some of our kids are put on buses on the first day of prep.
Yes.
And off they go. They're sitting at the front on this big, you know, crown bus. And, you know, that's something that most parents, I think, are not expecting.
Yes.
No, it and I remember that too. My son went away as this tiny little, it wasn't prep, mainstream, but when he did go off to special school, oh my gosh, I was, you know, so highly anxious.
Yes.
Until I knew that he was at school. But schools have been doing this for a very long time, and I've got to say the bus services are fantastic. And it's important to let the bus chaperone know,
you
know, if there's anything that they need to be aware of. And it's also good to perhaps do some practice getting on and off buses as well prior to school starting, and practice going to the school grounds, practicing skills at home about packing and unpacking your school bag if they're able to do that.
Having a lunchbox.
Being able to, can they open their lunchbox, or do they need support to be able to do that, or their water bottle.
The best drink bottle,
Taking jumpers on and off. You know, there's lots of little things like that. Practice with your child, but to a point, and if they, you know, if they need additional support, then you will need to let the school know that that's what they need. And even doing things like, I know with my son's school, actually put you in touch with other parents that were starting out, or parents of older children in the school, so that you could organise a bit of a play date beforehand.
Really good.
I've always thought that was a fantastic idea.
I think you mentioned, you mentioned the chaperone on the bus. I think that's just as important person as your teacher, because they could be on the bus for an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. And I know, speaking to ours every day, they become a bit like your family.
Yeah, they do. You get to know them very well.
The bus
and
drivers.
They get to know your car.
That's right. Yep.
So they're, very important person. And your child, you know, they often really connect with the chaperone.
Yes.
And often the best part of their day is the bus trip.
Well, there's some wind down. Yeah.
For sure. So, there's so many things to think about when your child is starting school, perhaps above and beyond what any parent would be going through.
Absolutely.
When they have their child starting school.
Shoes that fit over splints. How do we get the wheelchair on the bus, or how do we get there? There's so many variables.
When's medication going to be given out? Am I going to go mainstream with an aid? Am I mainstream with no aid? Am I going? Yes. There's so many choices that I think other parents haven't thought about, and they already find the first day of school really emotional and stressful and overwhelming. So
I just cried the whole way home because I thought, I can't believe I got them there.
Oh.
We got the funding. They're wearing the right uniforms.
Oh,
I've got shoes over the AFOs. I just cannot. I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Yeah. It certainly is. Absolutely exhausting. But you know what? That's good. You got there.
I did. That's right. And then it was elation that we did it.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're in this new phase and it's exciting.
Yes, it is. But, you know, like I said, there's lots of things you need to be aware of as a parent, you know, when you have a child with a disability, just to try and set it up for as big, best success for your child, you know, as you can. And, you know, perhaps coming along and starting our or joining our workshop might be a step in the right direction.
Yes.
We're trying very hard not to overwhelm parents with too much information because I know what that's
we're tired.
You are. And but it's really good. I know when my son started school, I didn't even know what other options were. I didn't know what his rights were. I didn't know so much. You know, I needed to know that. So when, you know, he started at the local primary school where a lot of his kinder mates were going, you know, I was really shocked when the principal wasn't as welcoming as I thought he should be. And with directing me to special schools and, you know, perhaps the other primary school in the area because I wasn't sure how well he could support him. And I just, you know, stuck to my guns and said, no, this is his local school.
Yes,
this is
where
I want him to go. And we persevered for a number of years, but I could see that it was just not working and Chris was becoming more and more sad.
Happened to my daughter too,
Yeah, it's a common story. You hear this quite a lot. And it was at that point, interestingly enough, that I did ring the Association for Children with a Disability because they were there to support parents.
Mm.
And they were amazing. And they basically gave me all this information about there's more than one option, you know, and these are your child's rights and, you know, this is what you can and can't do. And it was a revelation to me and a little bit overwhelming, but I took that all on board and I started making some good decisions in regards to his education. And I this is part of why I went to work at ACD, because of the amazing support that I got in the early stages of my child's life, particularly at school. And, you know, working in the education part of ACD and putting together these workshops for parents, I've always got in the back of my mind my own personal story and the struggles that I had initially. And I really want to make that difference with parents so that they don't have to, you know, struggle as much as perhaps I did. So, you know, putting together this Starting Preps series of workshops, it was just a wonderful experience for all of us, you know, because we could see that the information that we're providing them and the opportunities to connect with others could make a real difference in parents' lives.
Absolutely.
Huge difference. Yes. Mm. Yeah. And I, especially this year, for people living in Melbourne and people all around Australia, have been through a different year. It hasn't been the same for any of us. Like, I know everyone's been homeschooled or their parents are working at home or, you know, so it's been highly unusual, but especially in Melbourne, lots of the things that are normally in place are not there.
Yeah, it's been very hard, hard for so many people, and I know it's been very hard for the families that contact us. But it's surprising, you know, we've got so many. We've been offering a lot of different workshops for parents, and the take-up has been fantastic because parents have got the opportunity perhaps more than they would normally.
Yes, absolutely.
Connect online. So that's been fantastic too, the fact that online workshops, which we'd never done before, and we're not sure about how they would be accepted by parents, have been embraced. And so we'll be doing more and more of these.
And I think we've also learnt, even though we've been parenting for, a few years, Mandy and I, where the school, where it's not working, because we're watching it now with our own eyes. And so if we can get more information, then we want it. which I think we hadn't really realised until we saw remote learning. We're like, oh, that doesn't work for my child. They need this for that, or they need different support structures. And I think parents are probably going to be more involved with getting engaged with things like online tools.
Yes,
because, we've really realised that we need it.
I didn't even know what Zoom was this time last year. I heard about it. And people had said to me, oh, this will be really good for your work. And I was like, yeah, now I feel like everyone knows how to do it.
Everyone.
The children to the grandmas.
Oh.
It's awesome.
It is. It's been a great way to stay connected in a, you know, an environment where you absolutely can easily be isolated, and many of us are.
Yes.
So you know that there's someone always there, and you can see them. You know, it's not just a phone call.
No,
yes, that's
awesome.
Yes.
Our family situation. And you're right. When you've got children learning from home, I know that a lot of our parents that contact us have been, had major concerns about where their child is at. In their learning, they have a different idea as to where they might be.
And so,
can see that there are some real gaps that perhaps they need to follow up with the teacher.
Yeah.
I think that's probably been one of the biggest confronting takeaways.
Yes, I think it has.
Yeah.
I think it really, really has. So, but there are structures and supports there. We have learnt, some of us, how to advocate. So we just have to drop back into that role. Like, I've spoken to the school every week during remote learning. I've emailed every teacher. Every teacher's emailed me. So I've upped my level of, you know, it's gone back to sort of the primary school years, because we need that constant, they need to hear what's going on at home, I need to hear what's going on in their minds. And it is tiring, but also it's really freeing, because there's constant information going back and forth, and the teachers are really relieved too.
Yes. So, it's interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, because it might not have been the same if it was classrooms as per normal.
Yes.
But because it's very different, I think everybody's making perhaps an extra effort to keep in touch and to share that information. And to understand when your child is struggling, and then you can discuss, okay, well, how best can we support your child while they're learning from home? What's missing? I know that
I was just going to change tact a bit though, and because I was just thinking, what's it been like for families having to get all their testing done to see whether they can get into specialist schools or they go to mainstream? How has that been impacted at this time?
Well, not at all, as far as I know. It's business as usual.
That hasn't
been really impacted, because there's a lot of the assessments are still going on. I think they're probably almost
done.
They'd be finalised now.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So that, as far as I'm aware, that's been, you know, just been done as per usual.
I suppose they were prioritised over other things. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So parents should know
where their children are going.
And you know what whether they've received funding or not. It won't be till later in the year, but that would be a good
I think
way
we got our letter mid-January or something. I remember. And it was just such a. I remember opening the letter, just thinking, what is it going to be? What hours are they going to give her?
It's hard, isn't it? And you know, regardless of whether your child qualifies for funding or not, or is eligible for funding, you still need to work with the school, and the school should be working with you to find out what is the best way that they can support your child. So having those meetings is just as important.
Yes, it is. Every child has the right to learn.
Spot on.
You got to keep saying that, and you remind the school occasionally. And what's interesting, Mandy and I have found really interesting, is that we've both had lots of meetings with schools, and yet we get constant emails from teachers saying we'd never really heard that. So I think sometimes when you're the parent saying it to the teacher, even though you don't mean it, it might come across a bit adversarially. But when they hear it just two people or three people or four people chatting and it's not about them, then so you know what, parents, send them to the podcast. Tell them to listen.
Yeah.
Because they've actually found it really empowering. Lots of people, because they can just listen without thinking you're talking about them. And it's just an eye-opener to them. They're like, yes, all children do deserve this because they don't think about it.
Not in that big context, you know, that every child is entitled to an education and should receive an education.
Yes.
In a way that best works for them, for sure. So, yeah, sometimes it's good to remind the school that you know, that is your child's, every child's right. And I know some parents, when they go into a meeting, like a formal meeting, and particularly if there is an issue that they might be having to discuss, that there are concerns about something that's happened at the school in regards to their child, they'll often put a reminder on the table that the discussion here today is actually about the child.
Yes.
The child, and not about anybody else's issues.
Yes.
And it's actually a powerful reminder.
Very.
So put a photograph of your child or something.
That's
talk about
amazing. Yeah.
Something that your child had, something of their interest. So you put it in the middle of a Thomas the Tank Engine or something.
Yes.
Put it in the middle
that
of
makes
the
me want to cry.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Really a really good tip. And
it
I know,
keeps everybody focused.
Yes, it would. I remember heading into ours, there was this big movement probably 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. It was a lot of blogs saying, bring cakes to the SSG and try and make it nice. Mm. And so I did that a few times. And then I just thought, I'm so tired.
Yeah,
I can't be baking.
It's not your responsibility to bake.
So
no.
I just think a photo of your child, much
beautiful.
Easier. Don't feel like you have to go in and bake and sort of, yeah, you absolutely do not have to do that. And I understood where it was coming from, but that added a whole lot of pressure for
me. Yes, it does. And I know.
Absolutely. It's a formal meeting and cupcakes are lovely and it's a lovely gesture and certainly provide them, but maybe afterwards when they've made the decision that you would like them to make.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reward the behaviour.
If you gave the right one, here's some Krispy Kremes.
But yeah, in a formal meeting, it's really important to
keep
stay
it
focused on the agenda.
Yes,
and
so a formal meeting. That's right.
Yeah.
And the other thing that my boy's psychologist said to me, I was talking to her recently, and she said before parent-teacher interviews, and she said you can do this really nicely, or before, you know, group meetings, you just email everyone and go, oh, look, I'm not sure if I mentioned this, even though you've mentioned it every 2 months, but if everyone could just read back over their WISC and their individual learning plan and whatever new testing results you've got in, because occasionally there's a teacher that hasn't read it. And so you're just reminding them that this actually is what your child, this is all of the things about them. And then at the meeting you can easily bring it up and go, I remember when that said that though, or that bit of information, and then everyone should have read it. Mm. And it's also a really easy way of you bringing it up. And she said it's a really, she said people forget. She said, and when they read it again, they're like, oh, that's right. And she said it can change your whole parent-teacher interviews.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it is good to, if any decisions are made in a meeting, you've really got to have them minuted.
Oh, yes.
And you've got to have, who's going to action it and some sort of timeline as to when it's going to be done.
Yes.
So that you're making people accountable. And that includes you as a member of that, you know, that meeting.
Yep.
So if you have to follow something up, you've got to make sure that you do it.
Yep.
And that's important. And I know certainly when your kids get into secondary school, it's not all the teachers are going to know.
They do not.
No.
Yeah. So you've got to make sure that you give them, you know, the relevant information. I mean, there'll be some general information that all teachers should be aware of in regards to how to, you know, where your child should sit in the classroom and do they need a visual schedule, you know, all of those sorts of things. But there is some specific information you might need to give individual teachers.
Yes.
For your child in secondary. But one of the best tips I ever had was to put together a one-page profile of your child, who they are, what their strengths are, what their interests are, where they have challenges, and give some idea as to how to manage that in a one-pager, so that if there is a relief teacher that has to come in, or there's more than one
there
teacher that's your child, they've got something they can instantly refer to.
Perfect.
Yes, that is really important.
I also did that as an introduction to the children and the parents. So I had a letter with the photo of the twins. This is why they wear their splints on their legs. They love singing, yep. they love dancing, da-da-da-da-da. And then I handed them out to all the parents in the classroom. I had a couple of parents that were nurses come up and say, thank you so much. That was fantastic. And, you know, it's these – am I overexposing them? But then I don't have to explain it 25 times. But that's what I did, and it helped me.
Yeah, that's right. And until we reach a utopia where diversity is applauded and accepted, we will keep doing these things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right, that's right. And you know what? It gives the kids a starting point to know how to be friends with your child as well.
Yes.
So you're giving the parents this information, which hopefully will get passed on to the kids, and just giving them – so they might not know how to – you know, if your child is nonverbal and in a wheelchair, you know, what can they do?
Yes.
You know, how can they actually talk to that child? Because kids are naturally curious and they want to be friends.
Yeah, and they're beautiful, actually. I've seen it. Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, same here. And I know Chris had some amazing friends, and that we, because it was in our local community, the school that he went to, this is the local primary school, they stayed connected for a long year.
Same.
So we would see them as teenagers working at Coles or Woolies.
Yes.
They'd often say, you're Chris's mum. How's he going?
Yes. And I thought,
that's incredible. I love that, you know. Yeah. Say hi to Chris for me.
Yeah, beautiful. So,
yeah, it is. It is. It's lovely to see.
It is.
Is there anything that we've missed in asking you that you would like to tell everyone?
Just direct them to our website with all our amazing resources and information about how to register for our Starting Prep Together workshop series.
What is the date? What's the dates of those?
Okay, so the one starting on the 19th of October. For 3 weeks, and one starting on the 20th of October for 3 weeks, three separate sessions. 21st of October, two starting on the 21st of October, and one starting on the 22nd. We're focusing on certain locations, but you know, even if you don't live in that location and you still want to connect in with the, you know, with the information, please just register. So we're going through all of October into early November. All the dates are on our website, and yes, you just there's a link straight to Eventbrite where you register.
Oh, beautiful! And we will put your website in our show notes. So if you just need to go under the episode P's and click on it, and you'll be able to go and find them.
Fantastic!
Easy, easy.
It was wonderful to talk to you.
So nice. You're just so easy to chat to.
Yeah,
parents are the best people ever.
Yes. Hopefully, we can meet you one day when the world
after COVID.
Yeah.
we were hoping to meet you when you were doing the your shows.
I know.
Oh, March.
March.
Yes, we'll be back March 2050.
I won't be.
No, I won't be either.
I hope we'll be able to do them again. I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe next year, maybe the year
we'll
after.
We'll try. Well, as soon as we can, we will.
Yes, we will. And you'll be front row, all of
our. Yeah, we can't wait to see you all.
Yes, we can.
Thank you for giving your time today.
Thank you.
And
this is
I know
really
the
valuable.
P's will really value this.
Yes. So before we go, we're going to tell our P's to rate and review.
Yep.
Thank our Acast supporters.
Yes.
Thank you so, so much for coming on today. And yeah, if you've heard this episode and it's been helpful, tell
share
somebody
it.
Else. Yeah, share this one because it's really powerful for parents to know that they've got all this information at their fingertips.
That's right. Okay, thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
No See worries. You, peace.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.